Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are diving into an incredibly dense, highly technical neuroscience contract, the RDMXBCFS project. At its heart, this project seems to be asking a massive question. Are the cognitive mechanisms that help us track moving dots and random noise fundamentally the same as those that help us identify emotion on a flashed face?
Exactly. And it's a really ambitious endeavor because superficially, motion detection and facial recognition seem like two very different things. But by using the drift diffusion model, or DDM, they are trying to see if there is a common mathematical signature underlying perceptual decision-making across domains.
So for our listeners who aren't deeply immersed in cognitive neuroscience, can you explain what the DDM even does? It sounds like a mouthful of letters.
Well, at its core, the DDM is a powerful statistical tool used to model how humans accumulate evidence toward a decision. We don't make decisions instantly, we build up certainty over time. The DDM models this process as a diffusion process, a random walk with bias. When you see something that tips your decision one way, it's like getting a tiny nudge in that direction.
And the key parameters they are measuring from that.
Right. They look at four main parameters. The drift rate, which is the speed and strength of evidence accumulation. The boundary, which is the threshold for how much evidence you need before you commit. The non-decision time, which captures everything that isn't the decision itself, like encoding the stimulus and moving your hand. And the starting point, which captures any bias you bring in before the evidence even arrives. Measuring all four gives you far more information than just saying yes or no.
Okay, so they are using this pipeline to test two distinct tasks, one involving random dot motion, the RDM arm, and another involving faces that are being masked in a continuous way.
That's the crux of it. The goal for part one is explicitly stated as validating an in-house DDM data pipeline. They aren't just trying to get one answer, they are ensuring that the sophisticated mathematical tool works consistently when applied to two wildly different stimulus types, motion versus face emotion.
And what's fascinating about this, from a research perspective, is the level of novelty involved. The source material really emphasizes that this isn't just repeating old work.
It absolutely isn't. If you look at the literature review they compiled across 19 previous DDM papers, they highlight several areas where no one has combined elements before. For example, combining a continuously graded mask on faces with the full suite of DDM parameters, that's novel territory. In fact, 0 of the 19 papers used their exact stimulus set, 0 used a graded mask, and 0 used adaptive per subject calibration.
So even if individual pieces were published before, putting them together in this specific way constitutes a unique scientific contribution?
Exactly. They are synthesizing methodologically and structurally. The motion arm is anchored by decades of work, but the face arm uses multiple modern psychophysical techniques like adaptive calibration and graded masking that haven't been applied to DDM faces before. This combination makes it a novel design in its entirety.
Let's talk about the actual designs they are proposing. They have three versions for the face task, V1, V2, and V3. Why is V2, which uses emotion angry versus happy, the recommended flagship?
Because it offers the best anchor to existing literature while still being highly novel when combined with their methodology. Williams' work on masking effects using rad-bowed faces provides a strong theoretical starting point for how degradation affects drift, but they are going far beyond that simple binary masking.
And this brings us to one of the most powerful potential claims in the entire proposal, the T3 test, cross-arm equivalence. This is where motion and face decisions talk to each other, right?
Precisely. T3 asks, is the slope relating coherence to drift rate in the motion arm quantitatively equivalent to the slope relating obscuring level to drift, ray the face arm, all within the same person? If that equivalence holds, if they are statistically indistinguishable?
It is a massive claim. It suggests that the DDM isn't just reading motion data or face data, it's accessing some domain-general cognitive readout of evidence accumulation.
That shifts the entire framing from, are these two things similar? To do both these tasks rely on the same underlying brain process. Yes, that is a much stronger, more generalizable claim. It elevates the DDM from being merely descriptive to potentially explanatory regarding how evidence is processed, regardless of stimulus type.
Now, when you build such an ambitious test requiring high statistical power and complex comparisons, sample size becomes paramount. The source material outlines a decision matrix based on 4 claim tiers. Which tier do they recommend settling for?
They lean toward Tier 2, testing convergent validity. This means checking if the parameters derived from motion drift covary with the parameters derived from face drift across different people. It's affordable, needing around 50 participants, and it validates the core principle of cross-domain reliability.
But the most expensive and arguably most definitive claim is Tier 3, that equivalence test. The contract notes that this requires a lot more participants, especially if they want to defend a very tight margin for error.
It does. And defending that statistical margin, the specific difference between the two slopes, is incredibly difficult and resource-intensive. A loose margin needs about 50 people a tight, truly convincing margin can need over 260. They are being honest about the trade-off. You can make a small claim with fewer people, or aim for the grand equivalence claim with significantly more participants.
It seems like the whole project is built on methodological best practices too. I saw mentions of pre-registration, adaptive calibration, things that go beyond just running the experiment.
Those are critical components that elevate this from a simple data collection effort to a golden standard study. The use of adaptive per-subject calibration, importing techniques typically used in pure psychophysics, ensures that difficulty across both arms is equated at the individual level. It's methodological rigor applied to an unprecedented combination of stimuli.
So, if we were to summarize this for someone unfamiliar with DDM or rad-bowed faces, what's the big takeaway? What does this project promise to deliver to the field?
The biggest takeaway is moving beyond single-domain findings. If they successfully prove within-subject equivalence between motion and face processing, it provides strong evidence that our understanding of decision-making can be abstracted into a universal model. It means the DDM isn't just describing how we decide on faces or how we track dots, it's perhaps describing the fundamental neural machinery of probabilistic decision accumulation itself.
A domain general readout. That is a truly powerful claim for a single paper. Thank you so much for walking us through this incredibly deep dive into RDMXB CFS.